We welcome you to Wayne County Bible Center for our November 29th, 2020 message today. We are recording on Saturday night, the 28th of November. We trust that you had a good Thanksgiving. We hope folks were able to take time and thank the good Lord for all the blessings of this life. As we begin tonight, I'm going to have special prayer for a dear, dear friend of ours here in Wayne County, Mr. Bob Terman, who's been an educator for many, many years, a teacher, a guidance counselor, coached baseball for many years here at our high school, a municipal judge, and a dear, dear close friend of mine and many, many people here within our county. Just the most wonderful, gentlest, sweetest spirit you can imagine. And his wonderful family, his wife Sarah, his sons Cole and Drew, his daughter Sarah Beth. We love them all. And as I'm recording now, I know that Bob is in a dire situation and we're with COVID. And we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come tonight, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin. I pray to be cleansed, Lord, as I confess these to you. I confessed them to you a moment ago in next door. And Father, I just pray for your anointing tonight. I pray to be cleansed by your blood, anointed by your spirit to share your truth. But Father, as we begin tonight, I pray for my brother Bob Terman. I pray, Lord Jesus, your grace and your mercy and your peace to surround him and his family. And I pray, Lord, for a miracle of healing. Father, the psalmist says that you heal all our diseases. And Father, you do. You either heal them on this side or you heal them in glory with you. And so, Father, I pray a miracle of healing for Bob Terman on this side tonight. I pray that you would reach down and touch his body, miraculously heal him of this virus, as man has done all they can do. But, Father, I want to thank you that Bob is a child of God and that you are with him. And I pray your strength for his beautiful family tonight. Holy Spirit, lead us now as we study your word, guide us. And I pray, Father, for folks all over the world, all over this nation that are battling and fighting for their lives. I pray for their families. I pray, Lord Jesus, for those that have lost loved ones here within our county and all over the world. I pray your comfort. Holy Spirit, please let us keep praying for all these families, naming them as we do. And lifting them up to you. In your glorious name we pray, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our heartbreaks. And hold us all, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we are continuing our study on the Lord's Prayer. We're closing it out tonight. Good Lord willing, we will begin our Christmas series next week. We will resume our services here at the Wayne County Bible Center on December 6th. And for those that are uncomfortable in any way in coming, please do not risk your health to be here. You can listen to us on the website. But I need to personally get back in the rhythm of Sunday morning. And so I'll be here. We'll be sharing from the Word of God, 10:30 a.m. Central Time on Sunday mornings. And then Tim will have it up on the website at some point after that. So wanted to announce that. Thank the folks that are supporting the ministry financially through the Dropbox, through the address. All that information is on the website. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, it says this: "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Bless us now. Again, Father, we pray for your anointing. You be our teacher, and bless your word in your name. Amen. All right, we're going to pick up. Last week, we studied verse 12, forgive us. And then the previous week, we studied verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. And I want you to notice the flow of these three verses and the two ands. So in verse 11, it's give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins as we forgive others and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the daily is tied into all three of these statements. We have a need for daily bread, daily forgiveness, and daily deliverance from temptation and evil. Let me pray with you. Father, we have, as this emergency vehicle goes by the church, I pray, Lord Jesus, you protect these folks responding. These first responders be with the situation they're going to tonight. And Father, we just pray healing and protection in your name. Amen. Now, as we look at the flow of these verses, it shows that the Lord has given us all this godly wisdom in this model prayer, in this pattern for prayer. And he's saying, look, you need to acknowledge and you need to understand. You need to look to me for daily provision of bread, both physical and spiritual. You need to look to me for daily provision of forgiveness and for the grace to forgive others. And you need to look to me for daily deliverance from temptation and evil. And as we studied last week in verse 11, in verse 12, forgive us. We just asked forgiveness of past sin. And now the Lord's teaching us we're to ask for God's help to avoid future sin. And that's a powerful thought there. So the Lord wants us aware of our personal sin, how seriously to take it. And so he's saying we're asking forgiveness of past sin, and now we're asking for God's help to avoid future sin. So incredible, incredible combination here. Now, there are two key words in verse 13. And the two key words are temptation and evil, and we're going to look at both of them. The first word, temptation, lead us not into temptation, is the Greek word pirasmos. And I've taught this, many folks have heard me teaching this word for 25 years here in Wayne County. It's P-I-E-R-A-S-M-O-S. P-I-E-R-A-S-M-O-S. It's one of those Greek words that have two meanings depending on the context. And I like to call one meaning a positive meaning and one meaning a negative meaning. So I'm going to show you the positive meaning first. And I don't think that's the meaning in this verse, but I want you to understand the word pirasmos, because in the King James especially, I have some problems with the way they translate this word. So, in the positive sense, the word should be translated trials or tribulations. And so, in the Greek, depending on the context, the word pirasmos can mean a situation for the exposing of or the proving of the strength of something. A situation for the exposing of or the proving of the strength of something. Like if you've got steel or metal and you heat it up and you're trying to see how high you can heat it before it cracks or before it breaks, you are using this word pirasmos. You are trying the metal to see how strong it is and to see what it can withstand. And so in the Bible, a lot of times this word is used as a situation for the exposing of or the proving of the strength of one's faith. So it has a very positive purpose. It's used to strengthen one's faith. So go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 6. And you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And it says this, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, for a certain amount of time, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold trials and tribulations. Now, King James translated that temptations. For our English, that's not a good translation. You are in heaviness through manifold trials and tribulations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So the Lord allows us to go into situations that are hard times. Now, we want to avoid hard times. There's no doubt about it. That's human nature. But they're needful. Peter is telling you they're needful. The only way you grow your faith, the only way you grow closer to God, the only way you strengthen your relationship with Jesus, for the most part, is through difficult situations. A lot of times when we're on the mountaintop and the sun's shining, we don't even think about God. Go to James chapter 1. So, pirasmos can be translated temptation. It can be translated trial or tribulation. And in James chapter 1, verse 2, he says this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, it's count it all joy when you fall into a multitude of trials or tribulations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience and steadfastness and stillness and dependence on God, and let patience have her perfect and mature work, that you may be mature and perfect and entire, lacking nothing. So understand this. James is telling you that God uses trials and tribulations to mature you spiritually. So I know we want to avoid them, and I know we want to get out of them, but they're useful and they're needful. And when pirasmos is used in this context, it's a very positive thing spiritually. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And you'll see again. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, another familiar passage of Scripture. There hath no temptation taken you, And again, this is King James, and I don't have as big a problem with temptation there, but I'd rather it be trial. There hath no trial or tribulation or temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tried above that you are able, but will with the temptation or the trial make a way to escape, so that you can pass through it or turn away from it, that you may be able to bear it. A lot of times when we're going through trials or tribulations, we're carrying a burden. And when you're carrying a burden, you have to bear it. And when you're bearing a heavy weight, it's going to make you stronger. It's going to make your legs stronger, your shoulders stronger, your arms stronger. And He'll never allow you to be tried above that you're able. So again, the purpose of a lot of things we go through in life is so we can learn something, so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can mature ourselves spiritually in the Lord. So understand that. And if you jump back to James, let me show you one more verse. I meant to show it to you when I was there a moment ago. It's right in the same first chapter. And in James chapter 1, verse 12, it says this. Blessed is the man that endures temptations or trials or tribulations, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. And we're going to come back to James here in a moment. But what I want you to understand, trials and tribulations and testings are needful. We want to avoid them, but they reveal to us the strengths and the weaknesses in our spiritual character. They reveal to us the strengths and the weaknesses within our faith. And God wants to use them to reveal these things to us so that we can work on certain areas of our life, seek His strength, seek His guidance, and know where we're weak and know where we're strong. So that's pirasmos. Now, let me give you another definition of pirasmos. And this is what I would call the negative side of it. And it means to tempt one or to cause a person to sin. To tempt or to cause a person to sin. It means to cause a person to fall, to commit a sin. And so the word temptation or tempt is a very good translation of this word when it's used in that particular context. So go with me to Matthew chapter 4. And in Matthew chapter 4, we're very familiar with this. And the scripture says, verse 1, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." And so, my friend, that's clear. You know, the devil tempts us. You're going to see in a moment, God doesn't tempt us to sin, but the devil tempts us to sin. And so that's a good translation of the word pirasmos there. The Lord was being tempted to commit a sin. He didn't. He never committed a sin, but that was the purpose of the wilderness experience where the Lord won that victory. Now go back to James chapter 1. And in James chapter 1, where we have been for the last few moments, you see this word used again. In James chapter 1, I just read to you verse 12, but look at what verse 13 says. "Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God.' For God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither does He tempt any man," you know, to cause him to sin. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The wages of sin is death." Paul tells us that in Romans. And so what I want you to understand, Galatians 5:17 tells us, you know, that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Verse 14, "Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust, his own carnality, and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." So you've got this word, pirasmos. So go back with me to Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew chapter 6, we see the Lord's Prayer. And He says in verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation." Now, I believe He's talking about temptation to sin, because He follows this phrase with, "but deliver us from evil." So when temptation is tied to evil, or pirasmos is tied to evil, I believe the correct translation is temptation, as it's temptation to sin. Now, I would also personalize this verse for my own benefit. And where verse 13 says, "Lead us not into temptation," I would say, "Lord, lead us away from situations that would tempt us. Lord, lead us away from situations that would tempt us." And I'll get back to that in a moment, but that's how I personally say the prayer. I'll say, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us, and Lord Jesus, lead us away from temptations and situations that would tempt us." I ask the Holy Spirit to lead me away from being ensnared or being trapped, to let me have that discernment to recognize that, hey, the devil's trying to lead you into something here. You need to turn away, go in another direction, etc., etc. But let me grab the second word in verse 13 where it says, "deliver us from evil." So, evil In the Greek is poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S. P-O-N-E-R-O-S. And poneros means to be evil in a moral or spiritual manner. To be evil in a moral or spiritual manner in the Greek. And as you know, Greek goes a lot deeper. It also means this: a shrewdness of mind which delights itself in evil. So it deals with the mind and thoughts. A shrewdness of mind which delights itself in evil. And it also means malicious evil actions or a malicious evil person. So this word poneros ties three concepts together. It ties together evil thoughts, evil actions, and evil people. So when you're praying, deliver me from evil, you can pray, Lord, deliver me from evil thoughts, deliver me from evil actions, deliver me from the evil one, the devil, or the one who would tempt me. So it deals with thoughts, actions, and people. And a lot of times, poneros is translated two ways in the Greek. It's translated evil or it's translated wickedness in the King James or the New King James or whatever translation you may use. So it can be translated evil or wickedness. Now, let me go all the way back to Genesis 6 and let me show you a Hebrew synonym for poneros. And in the Hebrew, it's the word ra, R-A. But it'll give you a pretty good definition of this word. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, before the flood, this statement is recorded. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That word wickedness and evil is that same word, R-A, ra in the Hebrew, which is a synonym for the Greek word poneros. So God saw that the wicked acts of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only on evil continually. So you can see the word that we've studied in the Greek, it's the same basically in the Hebrew, and it encompasses thoughts, actions, and people. Go with me to Ephesians 6, and we'll look at it in the Greek as we began here a moment ago. But it's something we definitely need to be delivered of or from, and we're capable of having evil in our lives. And the Lord wants us to acknowledge it daily and to deal with it daily. Last week we were wanting forgiveness of past sin. Today we want to avoid future sin, and the good Lord will help us do that. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, he says this: "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness," panero, spiritual evil, spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we're going to deal with temptation. We're going to deal with demonic activity. We're going to deal with evil folks in this world. Verse 16, "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." That's of the devil. We're under the attack of the devil. And we need to realize this daily. This is a battle. We're to conduct ourselves, as Paul told Timothy, as a good soldier in Christ. We're warring. We need to put on that daily armor here in Ephesians 6 that we're reading about. And we need, you know, we're attacked within and without. We have evil within us, within our evil carnal spirit. Romans chapter 7, you know, the flesh battle, the evil that I shouldn't do, that's what I do. I see this war within my own body. And then we've got these temptations and attacks from the outside. So in the Lord's Prayer, He says, I want you to acknowledge it. I want you to seek my help, seek my strength, seek my guidance, so you can be delivered from temptation, from inner sin, from outer attacks, and from evil. And so it's very important. We realize this. Most Christians, you know, they don't even think about this stuff. Go with me to Mark chapter 7. Yeah, I mean, we're getting wiped out. We don't even know we're on the battlefield. Don't acknowledge it. If I don't think about sin, I guess I won't sin. If I don't think about temptation, I guess I won't get tempted. My friend, that's a lie. If you're not thinking about it, you're sinning more than you can imagine. Mark chapter 7, verse 20, he says this. Jesus, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For within the man, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications or sexual sin, murders, thefts, covetousness. Here we go, wickedness. So he's doubling down on evil and wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So the Lord wants us, you know, you can tell from last week's message and this week's message, the Lord wants us acknowledging that evil and sin exist in our life on a daily basis, but praise God, He's willing and able to forgive us, and praise God, He's willing and able to help us avoid it and find victory over sin and evil in our own lives. So don't sweep it under a rug and ignore it. Take it before the Lord. You don't have to take it before a man, and let the Lord change you, empower you, bring victory into your life, and replace the evil with His righteousness. And so in the model prayer, in the daily prayer, the Lord wants us to be cognizant of these things. So, here we go. Brother Leo, how would you pray this section of the Lord's Prayer? And this is how I do it. You let the Holy Spirit lead you to do it. And you might be one of these people that say, I'm going to pray it exactly the way it is written in Matthew, or the way it's written in Luke, or however it is, and that's fine also. It's just in my spirit to personalize everything for myself, but you may be blessed by not doing that. But let me just share with you how I would do it. So with this understanding of Pirasmos and Paneros, here we go. Lord Jesus, this day, lead me and guide me away from situations that would ensnare me and trap me and cause me to sin. Lord Jesus, lead me and guide me, or lead us and guide us, away from situations that would ensnare us and trap us and cause us to sin. So what we're basically saying, Lord, I want victory today by you keeping me away from the battlefield. Keep me away from it. Turn me away. If I'm about to fall headlong into a situation where I'm going to sin, give me that conviction, give me that discernment to turn in another direction and get away from it and avoid the situation fully. And I want you to understand something, my friend, Tim. I wrote down here in my notes, thank you, Lord Jesus. We don't even know how many situations in this life that the Lord's done this for us. He's kept us out of something that could have destroyed us. He's kept us out of something that could have caused us to sin. He's kept us out of something that could have caused, you know, major havoc in our life. And maybe when we get before the judgment seat, Lord will say, you remember when you were trying to get this job and I didn't let you get it? Let me show you what would have happened. So praise God for this element of God's protection and provision and providence in our life, where He leads us away from situations and at times We may not even know he's doing that. So we want to praise God for that part of the prayer. So I can pray, Lord Jesus, lead us and guide us away from situations that would ensnare us and trap us and cause us to sin. And then part B, and deliver me, Lord, from evil thoughts today, evil actions today, and the evil attack of the devil today. Lead me, deliver me, Lord, from evil thoughts, evil actions, and the evil one. And so, in that way, I have tied together, you know, the Greek translations of the two main words. But you do it however the Holy Spirit leads you. The thing the Lord wants us to do, He wants us an acknowledgement that we are daily in spiritual battles, spiritual attacks within and without, spiritual warfare, temptations that'll be thrown our way by the old devil to get us out of God's will, to cause us to fall. There are always going to be daily temptations to commit sin. And not only from the outside, I am in a daily battle with my own flesh and my own carnality. So go with me to Romans 7. I mean, Paul had a cognizant understanding of this, and he spoke about it. And I'm certainly no Apostle Paul. He said he was the chief of all sinners. But boy, when the Lord turned him around, what an evangelist and a church planter he became. But look at what he says in verse 14 of Romans 7. For we know that the Lord is spirit, that the law is spiritual and it's good and it's perfect. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. The things I hate, that's what I do. In verse 17, he says, it's no more I that do it, because in my heart I want to serve the Lord, but sin still dwells in me. For I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. In my spirit, in my soul, the Holy Spirit's residing, but in my flesh dwells no good thing. The will to do right is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, a lot of times I find not. For the good that I would do, I don't do it. And the evil which I shouldn't do, I find myself doing it. My friend, that's us. That, you know, Paul's every man here. He says in verse 21, I find then a law or a principle, like the law of gravity, that when I would do good, evil is still present within me. I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another principle in my body, in my flesh, warring against the principles, spiritual principles of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity of the principle of sin, which is in my carnal body. And you know, I feel like this sometimes. Some seasons I walk with God and I'm doing well, and then other times, I'm falling apart spiritually. And I'm easily tempted and I'm easily drawn away and I easily commit sin. And Paul says this in verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this fleshly body that can still commit sin, the body of this death? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with this fleshly body, I can still fall under the principles of sin. And he's just saying, I've got that dilemma like everybody else does, and Leo Doyle has that dilemma like everybody else does. And Paul says, I thank God my only hope is the strength I get from Jesus Christ our Lord. And in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus tells us, ask me to lead you away from sinful situations and ask me to give you the strength and power to deliver you from evil. And so we see that the Lord in the daily prayer wants us aware of what Paul wants us aware of in Romans chapter 7. I want to close out tonight in Psalm 141. And I think this is a beautiful, beautiful prayer that we can pray for God's help when it comes to sin. And I know there are folks listening to me and they're saying, Brother Leo, you know, I've never done that. There are a lot of folks that don't really think they sin that badly, you know. A lot of folks think your sin's worse than their sin. You know, my sin just isn't that bad, Brother Leo, you know. So I don't know that I need to be praying this prayer, but the psalmist certainly understood it and that he needed God's help daily to avoid falling into sin. And this is David, and he knew a lot about sin. Like I told you last week, me, Paul, and David, you're listening to three guys that are experts on sin. Psalm 141 verse 1 says this, Lord, I cry unto thee. Make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, set a guard, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing. To practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not partake of their dainties. The psalmist, David here is praying, Lord, guard me. Put a watch over my mouth, my mind, my heart, wicked works, actions. He covers the whole gambit here. He wants God to guard him, to enfold him, to put a fence around him, to put a barrier around him, and to keep him away from evil. My friend, our spirit is willing, but our flesh is weak. So we need to pray every day. Like the Lord said, forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And Lord Jesus, lead us away from temptation and deliver us from evil thoughts, evil actions, and the evil one himself, Lord, so that we can walk in righteousness today, serve you, please you, and be blessed by you. Lord Jesus, thank you for this model prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that so much wisdom are in the things you have taught us to have. Lord, teach me how to pray. Teach me how to pray, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you that you have taught us so much in how to commune in fellowship with you. And let everyone listening to this recording, Lord, deepen their prayer life, their communion with you, walk with you, share their hearts with you and hear your still small voice, Lord Jesus. Let them feel your comfort and your conviction in their one-on-one quiet time with you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the prayer you've given us. You've given us so much, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.